This episode is sponsored by Wondery's Business Wars. In the new edition, Business Wars looks at how BlackBerries and iPhones battled for their shares of the emerging mobile market. Listen to Business Wars on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Coming up on TMS, if that's mild, we're in trouble.
$2 more for flinching.
I don't like bee cheeses.
Fork scat in the microwave. Skip up to loop up.
Suck on a butter bullet.
No more, Mr. Mice Guy.
How best to warm your wiener?
I fell in love with a woman from the Sunday comics that nobody reads.
Are you worthy to taste Alice Cooper's hot sauce?
It's got chunks. We're all gonna die.
Take that, YouTube guy.
She's a coconut rabbit thing.
Circus Circus, for people who know what they've done wrong.
Mustard Legs with Bobby.
Making Things with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Bizarre encounters. Call and hear real people as they come face to face with bizarre encounters. Are they from next door or are they from... If you only make one phone call in your life, make it to Bizarre Encounters.
$2 first minute, 45 cents additional minutes. If you're under 18, get your parents' permission to call.
Hey, what are you doing?
I don't know, I'm just tossing bikes in the river, bro.
The Morning Stream, shoving hobos and sucking the cheese since 2011.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's Tuesday, November 15th, 16th, sorry, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Hibbett.
Hibbett. Inhibit.
Hibbett. If your name was... Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If your name was Hibbett or my name was Jackson, would we be different people? Meaning same, all the other same origin story, same parents, same age, same birth dates, all that.
But oh my God, I love these philosophical questions first thing off the bat.
Right off the bat. Do we go in different directions?
I just want to throw my bikes in the lake, bro.
Yeah.
If my last name was Hibbett,
yeah, yours
how would it have affected my life and the direction that my life took me?
Right. And there's no way to really tell, but do you think it would have had an effect?
I don't think it would have had any effect. I can't think of any major life choices that would have come from me being named. So, all right, let me ask this.
All right.
Would I have still gone to travel to Cambridge? Like, would the Hibbett sundial in Cambridge that I traveled to be the Hibbett sundial? How far back does the name change go?
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Okay. I was just thinking, like, alphabetically, you're in a different order, so your teacher would call your name different and stuff like that. But you're going deep. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, you know,
going.
I always sat behind a kid named Mike Hutchins. No relation to the lead singer from NXS.
No. Rest his soul.
This would have put me in front of Mike Hutchins. Would it have put me closer to any of the objects of my affection and desire in school, giving me a better chance?
Yeah, you don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, that's where it would have affected things.
Yeah, and you never know, because if you'd have gotten closer to one of those girls, and then that girl, let's say she was a little bit of a conniver, and her whole goal in high school was
floozy. Was she a floozy?
She's trying to get pregnant with Brian Hibbett's seed.
Brian Hibbett's seed.
Yeah, that Hibbett seed, much sought after. So that now it's you and Sally Forth or whatever her name is.
Sally Forth.
Having
like
a kid at 16.
I fell in love with a woman from the Sunday comics.
And now your lives...
Nobody reads.
Your lives are inexorably changed forever. Okay, well,
now, if I was Brian Hibbert, I'd laugh like this.
Hibbert. I like it. All right. Well, there you have it. Hibbett Seed should be today's title. I'm calling it now. Hey, all right. We get the important emails.
Yeah, we do.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No,
maybe there is.
No, I mean, look, if that previous philosophical discussion was any indication, we do not shy from hard topics here on this show.
No, we dive right in. We let it all hang out.
Right.
We're not afraid. And neither are our listeners. Kyle wrote in. This is not, as far as I know, Kyle Ferguson, friend of the show. This is a different Kyle. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, Swiss and bourbon. Not bad. Mm-hmm. I've heard bourbon before, never Swiss. How come that's not two cheeses, though?
Like, couldn't you? Yeah, is bourbon with that spelling, is that a cheese? Because he didn't spell it like the liquor bourbon.
Oh, yeah, B-U-R-B-O-N. Oh, maybe that's a cheese. Chat room
might be a. But why not brie?
Yeah, why not? Oh, yeah, why not brie? Why not Swiss and brie?
Yeah.
Or
I mean, there are B cheeses.
Yeah, there are B cheeses. There are A cheeses and B cheeses.
People don't know why we're so hung up on cheeses, by the way. It'll become apparent in like a moment.
Yeah, it will. All right, he says, here's the body of his email. Is it okay to put cheese on everything always? Love the show, though, Kyle. Very straightforward question.
Yeah. No. Is it okay to put cheese on everything always?
No, the answer is no. You wouldn't put this on chocolate. You wouldn't put it on, maybe some kinds of cheeses and chocolate go together, but you're not going to put like...
I've had a nice charcuterie tray that had some dark chocolate and some crumbly like blue cheeses and stuff.
Yeah, and those go together pretty well.
Those go together.
But you're not going to take...
Thing? All right.
Let's say you had a cup of coffee, Brian. You're not going to sprinkle like grated cheese on it.
I'm not going to put cheese in the cup of coffee. Now, here's the thing, though. I've put butter and coconut oil in coffee.
Yeah, same.
For like that bullet coffee thing.
Right.
That ain't good for you.
No.
That kind of helped my current situation.
Sure tasted good, though, didn't it, though?
It did taste really good. Yeah. It was very smooth and
I think it's the only delicious coffee I ever liked was somebody let me taste their butter bullet, whatever, and it was someone let me taste their butter bullet.
Butter bullet. Let me taste your butter bullet. That's how Sally Forth actually hooked me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should get you that way. And if your name was Hibbett.
That was her opening line. And from then, Brian Hibbett was hooked.
Yeah. Saturday night at Hibbett's house is a whole different place than it is currently.
It certainly is. What do you think is the weirdest thing you've ever put cheese on that most people wouldn't put cheese on?
Oh, my gosh. Weirdest thing?
Weirdest thing.
Oh, that's hard.
I'll help you out. I'll start.
Yeah.
I had cheddar on a slice of apple pie, and I thought at the time that was the weirdest thing that anyone had ever done. And apparently, it's big in the South.
I've heard of it.
It's freaking delicious.
Yeah, I've heard of it. And you like it was good. That was the.
It was really good. The tartness of the cheddar and the sweetness of the apple pie, just amazing together.
Yeah, I think my wife may have spoken of this from her upbringing, that was somehow a thing. I can't think of anything. I mean,
I don't think we're talking about the genitals identity for.
No, not the genitals.
In the butt, Bob?
Nope, those don't count. We're not looking at those. We're talking about regular edibles. I guess the closest I have to say to this would be... I did melt. I do remember doing this. I melted pepper jack cheese over a. This is gross, but I microwaved a corn dog, frozen corn dog. Put it in the microwave. You're not supposed to cook them that way. You're supposed to bake them. But I did that or toast them.
Well, okay. I was gonna say if you wrap it in a paper towel, corn dogs in the microwave are totally a thing.
Hold on. Is this a thing? Yeah. I could do that.
Yeah.
Oh. But wait, what does that
Tina
do?
Tina gets these all the time. So Tina gets these, they're a breakfast sausage wrapped in a pancake, but it looks just like a corn dog and has that corn dog kind of delivery method. Granted, it's not corn-based like dough wrapped around the thing, but...
Well, the concept's the same. You've got some kind of breading. The concept's the same.
It's on a stick. You wrap it in a paper towel, a minute and a half in the microwave. That thing comes out perfectly.
What does the paper towel do? Just keep moisture from getting too wet?
Yeah, it keeps moisture. It keeps the bread from being completely dried out and chewy.
Right.
And also keeps the moisture around the bread so that it stays kind of soft.
Okay.
Because
in my head, when I did that with the cheese on it, first of all, it wasn't that great. It was okay. But whatever. It was fine. I was young and you know, we're young and dumb. It doesn't matter what you eat. But the breading, the corn part was just all gooey and like not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Because the things that Tina gets are sausages wrapped in a pancake. It's kind of like a McGriddle without all the hassle because it comes on a stick. She loves those things.
Really?
Yeah.
What is she? How would she say it if she were to say that you're out?
Brian, did you eat all the corn, the pancake wrapped pigs in a blanket? Why I can't that, find any of them.
Why that cracks me up like nothing else, I don't know. I don't know why that's so funny.
Because it's so not her voice. But as a kid, I learned the trick that if you take a hot dog bun,
yeah,
put a hot dog in it, yeah, and then wrap that in a paper towel and put it in the microwave for 30 seconds,
yeah,
it's like perfect.
Mm. I'm going to try this once. When we get more, I'm going to try your method. Yeah. Because I never heard of that, and that makes perfect sense to
and
me.
And it was like the, you know, because the way you learn to do it as a kid is get a pan out, a saucepan out or a pot, fill it with water, put a hot dog in there, let the water boil it for a minute or so, then take the hot dog out, put in a bun, blah, blah, blah. And that whole process, when you're a kid, that feels like forever, and it's only like, you know, 5 minutes of work, but it feels like forever. But you do that. Like if you take the hot dog right out of the fridge, put in a hot dog bun, wrap the whole thing in a paper towel, microwave for 30 seconds, for whatever reason, it's fantastic.
But not from a frozen state though, right?
Not from a frozen state.
That's probably where I got in trouble because there's more moisture because you got all that ice to melt or, you know, outside.
Well, the corn dog though is different. So that came from a frozen state.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. So does the pigs in a blanket thing that I'm talking about. Oh, those are frozen.
So you don't defrost.
Those are a minute and a half.
You don't defrost and then, or do you do defrost and then cook it?
No. Okay. No. Okay. Right out of the freezer. Wrap it in paper towel. Minute and a half from frozen state.
All right, all you college kids who
from Sylvester Stallone Demolition Man state. It's perfect. A minute and a half.
Perfect. And don't forget the three shells. You're going to need them after you eat that corn dog.
The gremlins, which is already de-thawed, or defrosted, thawed, I guess would be the word.
Thawed, sure. Thawed out, we'd always say. Thawed out when I grew up.
Thawed out. Yeah. Thawed out. 30 seconds, thawed. Boom.
Okay. All right. Porn dog. What's Dice Tomato talking about? I don't know what's going on there. Porn dog. Porn dog?
Even bun, squishy twitchy. Put the hot dog in the bun, wrap the whole thing in a paper towel, 30 seconds microwave. Try it, and you'll be amazed. Maybe a minute. Maybe
I'm
do a
blown
minute
away by this news. This is incredible, helpful, practical kitchen advice that we're getting today.
Yeah.
Didn't know we were getting this today. Did you guys?
Teach your children well. Eat those mystery meat tubes of pork products.
Yeah. Pig
right
bits.
Out of the microwave. Yeah. How bad could it be for you?
Yeah, it can. But, you know, wrapping a paper towel, all those problems go away.
Mm-hmm.
No nitrates.
No aluminum foil, P. Crumb. Who knows?
No, don't do that. Don't put any of that shit in your microwave. That's a big mistake. Jeez. I put a fork in the microwave by accident about a year ago. I can't believe I didn't talk about it on the show.
Ooh, wow.
Total accident. Just left it in there. Zip, bat, boom, bam, skibbity, bat,
bam. I'm sure. Like freaking out. 4th of July in there.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. So don't ever do that. I don't know what damage I actually caused. It darkened the tray, the little turning tray, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do
anything. Oh, look at that. Scipio, SK1PIO, says 1 minute blast in the air fryer after microwave to get it nice and crispy. That's what you do with those corn dogs, by the way. So you take it out of the microwave for a minute and a half, Scott, then put it over in the, do you have an air fryer that's like
I don't, but I'm always on the edge of just grabbing one because everyone says they're great. I don't have one.
I should show you the one to get.
Okay,
it's
you should.
It's a Cuisinart countertop model. Instead of being those weird tall bullet things that you have to put in a cabinet when you're not using.
Oh, right, yeah. I don't like that.
Get the Cuisinart toaster oven, air fryer, dehydrator, bread proofer, oven combo thing. It's like... Seriously, this thing changed our lives. It's like,
and it's Cuisinart, which means Cuisinart
makes no money. Maybe I should really quickly make an Amazon link with my code in it. But
you should.
It is this thing does everything and takes up, you know, the space of a toaster oven on your counter. And we were able to get rid of our toaster, our air fryer, and it's amazing. It's so cool.
I'm all in. Will you send me the model after the show today?
I will send you the model.
Okay.
I will absolutely send. I'll put it in our Discord right now, as a matter of fact.
That's great.
That's how great I am.
Gore great. You're great.
Great. Goiter.
Goiter. He has a goiter, everybody. A Brian's admitting today he's got a goiter. Everyone look out for
him. I just have to remember how to spell Cuisinart.
I don't know how you do that.
Q-U-I-S-I-N-A-R-T. Why doesn't that look right? Is it E-N-A-R-T? Cuisinart.
Cuisandart.com.
Yeah, there it is. Air fryer, convection, toaster oven. Number one thing when you search for Cuisinart on Amazon is this thing that comes up.
Well, they're a brand. They're a quality brand. You know,
they are a quality brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They don't break.
Right here.
Not like Black & Decker. They're bullshit in a bucket. They're bad.
I'll give you a link and I'll put a link in here too.
Excellent.
Link for the chat room, link for the Scott.
Oh man, look at this. This is what the internet was made for.
Exactly. And it's on sale right now. $50 or $44 off right now.
Yeah. This is why we have the internet, everybody. Screw you, 4chan. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Oh, by the way, somebody in our video yesterday, I could not get past this. So we did the show. I post the show after we're done to YouTube. Okay. Yeah. The reason, and chat room, well, they all know this. The reason we don't play music live and they're not on the YouTube channel is because we get in trouble for that stuff. Right. So we don't. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the story. I post up the thing. And I always like to check comments throughout the day if we're getting something on Facebook or on YouTube. And YouTube can be fishy, but most of the time you guys are fine over there. I get this one yesterday. It says, spoiler alert, they were super political today.
Were we?
And I went, okay, hold on. Let me think.
Super political.
How were we political at all yesterday? I don't think we said one thing about anything to do with politics. In fact, me just referring to it today is more than we would have ever said yesterday. So what did we say?
I talked about going to concerts with masks and stuff and
going
to movie theaters with masks.
Is that what they mean?
I mean, is that?
If that's what they mean, then he can go suck on a butter bullet, okay? I don't have time for people who think that's
Sally
political.
Forth and suck on a butter bullet.
Yeah, but like, give us a break. We're in the middle of a world where there's a thing happening, and you can go pretend it isn't happening all you want. But if we make a reference to a mask, it's not political. If that's what he means.
Yeah.
If that dude's listening right now, and I assume he is because he heard it yesterday. Could you just fill me in, like citation, please? Like, what did we say? What did we have a discussion about?
Yeah,
I don't think we talked about anything.
And that is the problem. I mean. Dice Tomato nails it on the head. Masks, vaccines, and this is nothing new to anybody, but should never have been politicized. It should have never been a left or right, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat issue, vaccines and masks. Never, ever should have been it, and we would be done with it by now.
Yeah.
We would have been done with it. We would all have been like back to normal, you know.
We'd be saying, hey, wasn't Vegas great in, last
yeah,
2 months ago?
Exactly.
Can't wait to go again. It'll be great to see everybody there again. Like,
exactly.
We'd be having all that. I would have had Nerdtacular in 2021. Like, we would have done it. So, whatever that was, dude, I can't help you. Plus, you got to say more than just, spoiler, they got totally political today.
I know, exactly. Yeah. I was trying to think, was there a question in the, I know we didn't get political, but we did get, non-factual. We did get incorrect about our the multiplier of bacteria, right? Like we were saying 700 times the bacteria in your headphones, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And either you or Dunaway said something like, oh, it's like 700% or 200%, something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it at the time. I went along with it. And I'm the one who got called out on Twitter. Hey, Brian, how many emails did you get about confusing 200% with 200 times?
Like,
what do you mean? Come on. I was the one who said it. I didn't correct the guys. And I think I probably repeated it at one point.
Yeah.
But
I think you said times. I think we said percent.
I think so. And and whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. But we all know 200% is 2x, not 200x.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the fun part is I went and looked at that guy's comment history on other videos, and this all he does is just...
spoiler political guy?
Yeah, so I don't know why I'm giving him any airtime today, but it just annoyed me, and it stuck
in
my
craw. Troll!
I had a rotten day yesterday. I had a headache all day. I couldn't get rid of it, and then this guy, and I feel much better today, so middle finger to Jim Bob there on YouTube. All right, moving on.
I'm surprised I'm not grumpier today because I got the lack of sleep today that you got yesterday.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The dog was doing a mix of sleep, barking, and growling in the middle of the night. Then she got up, and it sounded like she was hacking up a lung. So I had to get up with my phone, turn the flashlight on, and scope the carpet to see what she coughed up. She didn't cough up anything. She's looking at me like, I'm fine. What's your problem?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it was after 10 minutes of... plus I didn't go to bed right away because I was watching my show, one of my two shows that I'm doing for Recommendals tomorrow, and the episode ended in a place that's like, oh, I can't leave it like that. I have to watch the next episode. And so I watched the next episode, and And that put me an extra hour.
That happens to me all the time. And it's like, it wouldn't actually kill me to wait a day, but I feel like I just have to, you know?
Yes. I couldn't go to bed with Alex in the place that she was. That's all I'm going to say. Don't think that gives anything away to people.
Well,
it may give things away to people who've seen the show, but and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and as far as I know, Alex Albizu likes to be called him or he. But it's right, fine. Yes. It's fine. You know, he doesn't care. He can be whatever he wants.
Hey, let's get to some hot sauces, Scott.
Yeah, check this out. So Carrie.
No, and I was going to look this up. It's not Cleo Carrie.
Different Carrie.
It's a different Carrie. And you know how Amazon sends you a little sheet? That sheet said Tia, T-I-A.
Oh, okay.
And
here it is. Okay, so yeah. Now I don't know who this is from.
And I didn't know that was, so I'm like, oh, Tia, well, okay. But then I use my phone on that QR code that's on the sheet that says, hey, thank you, if you want. And that came up with Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, which is the way Cleo spells it. So I got on Twitter and said, hey, thanks, Cleo, for the hot sauces.
Yeah,
not thinking like, that, I don't know, maybe there's another Cleo out there.
Sure. Yeah, I saw your post and I went, oh, okay, well, then it is Carrie. But then you told me yesterday it wasn't Carrie, so who knows.
Yeah, so, and I'm looking back and seeing, like, all right, have we gotten emails from another Carrie who listens to TMS? I can't find it. So, anyway.
Carrie Tia, if that is your real full name, thank you for what we're about to do. So we got to play this.
Take this. It's for you. It's food.
All right, so someone sent us, this person sent us, Alice Cooper hot sauces. Now, did you know Alice Cooper was in this business? Did you know?
I didn't know hot sauces. I know he has a, speaking of hot dogs, I know he has a hot dog restaurant in Chicago where he's from. Mm-hmm. And it's like Cooper Dogs or something like that. And it's very well regarded. Mm. Fernier, Alice Cooper's real name.
Doesn't he still live in, he has a big, huge place in Arizona, I thought. Doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
I thought he did. I thought he lived there.
Is it in Arizona, not Chicago?
Maybe
it is.
Maybe he's got the hot dog place in Chicago, but he, I don't know, you know, he's Alice Cooper. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking it up because I thought it was in, let's see, Alice Cooper hot dog.
Careful, Rule 34 is going to slap you across the face with that one.
Cooperstown, I'm sorry, it is. It was in Phoenix.
Oh, it's in Phoenix, okay.
Yep.
All right. We drove past his house.
So you're absolutely right, Scott.
We drove past his house once when we were in Arizona, and I remember I can't remember what we were trying to do. We were trying to get his attention I was young and stupid, and we were trying to make noise, and I don't remember what we did, but he never showed up. So there's that.
Gotcha. It was called Cooperstown, and sadly it closed in 2017. So if you wanted to go there, I'm afraid you can't.
Yeah, you're screwed. Now, this lineup, we have mild, or as it calls it, mild, Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare, mild hot sauce. Mm-hmm.
These are all named after Alice Cooper songs.
And it looks like a greenish chili or something.
Yeah, like a smoked chipotle color.
Yep, alicecooper.com. They make these in Charlotte, North Carolina. I keep saying Ville, I don't know why. Then you got the medium, which just looks like, what do you call it? It's like Cholula. It
looks like Frank's Red Hot is the color.
Yeah, that's the and the smell. I whiffed it. No more Mr. Nice Guy. That's the medium.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
And then the third one, which as you can tell, some has been gone because my son ate it yesterday when he came by. We got Reaper Hot Sauce called Poison. Does he have a song called Poison?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. I am not familiar enough with the...
The Library of Alice Cooper.
Yeah, his bibliography or whatever. I don't know. So we both brought some sort of cracker item. And
you know, I will say, looking at the ingredient list, I'm impressed with Mr. Cooper. The ingredients on the hot one is just vinegar, Reaper chilies, sugar, salt, garlic, black pepper, spices, lemon extract. That's it. No
nice
weird chemicals, hard things to pronounce, etc.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. These are all like that. I'm like really short.
How old is he now? He's like in his 70s, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Cooper. Just want to look real quick.
Mm-hmm.
He is...
High 60s, upper 60s? No, low 70s, 73.
73 years old, wow. Born in 48. I don't know, I just think that guy's got a weird, cool career.
He really does.
It's weird, and it shouldn't be. This should be a joke, but I'm kind of excited to try this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Nick said they were really good. We're not taking his word for it. We're going to eat these ourselves. So do you want to start mild and
Let's start with mild. Let's work our way up. Right. These, by the way, were just recently featured in the Washington Post holiday gift guide, these hot sauces. Oh. So,
all right. So these are an active growing concern then, these things. Okay, there we go.
Mm.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a Tabasco from the mild smell.
Yeah. A little bit of, yeah. Ooh. If that's mild, we're in trouble.
Hmm.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah. No kidding. That's mild.
Yeah.
And it's leaving, there's some lasting...
Hold on, I got some water here.
Lasting pain with that.
I'm going to really be careful. I'm going to be careful here with medium and hot now. Woo! Okay.
Right. A little coffee. Wash that down.
I actually recommend that. That's very good.
That is very good. Mm-hmm. That'll be good on some eggs.
Yeah. Oh, I'm making scrambled eggs for lunch. That's what I'm doing.
There you go. That's a good one. All right. Let's go to no more Mr. Mice Guy. Mr. Mice Guy.
Mr. Mice Guy. Mr. Meeseeks. Mr. Meeseeks. All right. Let's do it.
No more Mr. Nice Guy Medium.
Ooh.
Now that the other one didn't have a little stopper. Like this one actually has the little stopper that keeps you from getting a lot.
Oh, yeah. Why? I guess that one's just not as hot or whatever.
Maybe.
And we're kind of, we're babies, so. All right, here we go. I feel like I'm going to die on this one.
Hmm.
Hotter?
Not as hot, definitely not as hot as the mild. Not lasting hot.
It's got a late
A more tart flavor.
Definitely tart.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like it. I know that's a lot of vinegar, but if you do it right, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Get some carnitas. That'll be awesome on.
Yeah, so you're good at knowing what the other dish should be.
The pairing.
Yeah. I'm not
good at
that.
Scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, I'm not good at it. I'm like pour it into a spoon and eat it like soup kind of guy. All right, poison.
All right, poison. I'm scared. Also does not have a stopper.
It has chunks. Right. It's got stuff in it.
It's got stuff in it.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. We're all going to die. All right, here we go.
All right.
So far, so good. Like those other two, they're not killer. They don't overstay their welcome, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Starts nice.
Yeah. This doesn't have a stopper.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, does that one get you? Oh, shit. I'm nervous.
This is where the top of my head feels like it's constricting.
Mm.
Like my skin on my head is going.
Ooh, that's hot. What is it? Is it the Carolina Reaper in there?
Yeah, that's the Reaper.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's very good. But boy, it's got some heat to it.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, nice flavor, but.
Mm-hmm.
Nick handled it better than I did. He seemed to be pretty chill with it. My pain, your thrill, it says on the back.
That's lyrics from the song.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing. Is that from a music song?
Yeah, that's the opening line from No More Mr. Nice Guy.
How about, I think you're gonna like it.
That's the line that follows Welcome to My Nightmare. Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it.
Okay, now I hear it. All right, well, that...
Ooh, yeah. Those are good.
That one sticks around.
Are these the kind that need to be refrigerated after you open them?
Mm-mm. Well, I don't think so. They don't... First of all, they don't say so, but all those ingredients look like you just leave them out.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Which I'm like when you don't have to refrigerate. I'm gonna... have a little water.
Yeah, it's the flavors are great though. You know what? I'm kind of impressed. I like a good hot sauce. I think I'm gonna use that mild most often. All that medium's really good.
The medium is really good. The medium is milder in my opinion than the mild.
The hot one is for psychos.
Yeah.
Like you give that to Alice Cooper and he dies at 72. Don't give it to him. try to avoid giving Alice Cooper his own medicine, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know. So okay. Do you not refrigerate any hot sauce? We have Cholula in the fridge for some reason.
Cholula we don't, because it's fine staying out. The stuff we do refrigerate are ones that include, forget which ingredients you have to be careful with, but they almost always say, keep refrigerating.
Yeah, Tapatio doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, none of them.
Tabasco's fine out like that. Although there's a version of Tabasco that you're supposed to use as steak.
That's exactly what they said, yes. Yeah. According to the McElhenney Company's instructions, refrigerating your hot sauce is the best way to prevent the color change.
Oh, okay. Well, probably doesn't hurt to refrigerate them, you know, put them in there and just keep them there.
Holy shit. But doesn't...
That one hung around a little too long.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, nothing... All right, well, there you go.
There you go. Keep them in your
Cholula
on your table.
Cholula says consume it within 6 months of opening. Tapatio says about 2 years.
2 years, geez. Mm-hmm. They make them to last. All right, now this. It's time for the morning news, and it's brought to you by...
By something else that's hot, Soundography. Hot off the presses with a brand new season. And what we're doing... with something brand new, we're kicking off this season with a revisit of season one. Ever since we did season one, a lot of those bands that we mentioned have come out with new material. And we talk about all that new material and what those bands have been up to. So folks like Spice Girls and Talk Talk and Kevin Gilbert. Well, nothing new from Kevin Gilbert because he died. But a lot of those bands, we talk about what they've been up to since season one, and that is the first episode of the brand new season of Soundography. You'll find that at soundography.com, hosted by Hammond Chamberlain and myself.
Very nice. Get your music on, everyone.
That is exactly right.
Here's your story, first story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was charged for, not charged money, or was it money?
She was charged money.
She was charged money. It's funny how this headline, it sounds like she did something illegal. But anyway, a woman was charged for crying during surgery. Oh.
Was she a surgeon?
She was the...
that would make some sense, right?
Yeah, it would. If she was the patient, too, I could see somebody's in trouble if you're the patient crying. But anyway, don't cry during a stressful or painful medical procedure unless you're willing to pay extra. One woman learned that the hard way when she went to her doctor to get a mole removed. She cried at one point during the operation, and her bill, which she posted to Twitter, showed an $11 charge for, quote, brief emotion, unquote.
It's my favorite Aerosmith song.
Oh, brief
emotion.
Yeah, that was before they sold out. They were great then.
It really was, yeah.
Anyway, let's see. And a billing code of CPT code 96127, whatever that is. She got off easy, according to the Mentagram article called CPT and Code 96217. How to increase revenue with this new behavioral and emotional assessment. So this is something some doctors, family practitioners, and such are doing. It is a code that may be used to report brief behavioral or emotional assessments or for reimbursement, and, quote, may be billed 4 times for each patient per visit, utilizing 4 different instruments or assessments. So if I go in there and they're going to take, like, this big dumb mole I have on my head right here off, and if I go, ugh! They're going to go, $11. Sign
him
up.
Right. He reacted. Yeah. Do you think... Now, I could see it if they had to... I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to justify this. If they had to stop and, like, give her something because she's crying, like, oh, are you feeling pain? Do we need to adjust stuff? And it added extra time to the surgery. I mean, even that I can't see being...
I agree. It sucks. It's bad.
It sucks. The whole thing sucks.
I would fight it if I were her, and... It's also, there are plenty of people with like legitimate like needle phobias and things. Mm. And now if they're freaking out and having like a, got to pin him down and make a video for TikTok style freak out, I get it. Okay. That's different. But if this just has too much leeway, because if somebody goes, oh, is it going to hurt? Is it going to hurt? Is that an emotional break? A freak out? Are you going to charge
exactly,
them a little bit?
Yes.
Even if they didn't move?
Wincing?
Yes. What if they wince because you're a bad shot? How about that?
That's right. Somebody, I missed, there we go, Benjamin, it's $11 for flinching.
Yeah.
like the punch in the arm. It's $2 for flinching.
I mean, last time I got my blood work done, the girl wasn't as good of a phlebotomist as the last one, and it hurt. And I didn't flinch, but I kind of went like that. And she goes, oh, does that hurt? I said, yeah, that one got me pretty good. And then that was it. And we moved on.
I think it's only fair if they, if we get a discount, if they show any emotion.
Like, yeah. Yeah, there like you go.
They open you up and go, whew, that is a big goiter. Then you can say, nah, you showed emotion, $11.
Discount.
Shock and awe. You $11 Dr. Shock.
Yeah, look at the size of his kidney. $15. Hopefully you have a very emotional doctor, and by the end you neutralize the entire cost.
Those doctors on MASH. Suction! Give me suction!
Yeah, our healthcare system is kind of jacked. And it has been forever. It's not even a system, okay? This is the thing I
want to... Spoiler, TMS gets political today, too.
Oh, yeah, is this also political somehow? Look, I can tell you that it's always been bad since World War II when they decided that it should never be a national concern. It always should be just a thing you had to worry about if you never made enough money or whatever. And it's just gotten progressively worse. Every year, things go up by, like, exponential amounts. It doesn't make any sense. It's not a system. Mm-mm. It's an industry. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. There's no system. We work around it and build systems to accommodate it, but it's not a healthcare system. We don't have that. We have healthcare chaos. There, I got political. Take that, YouTube guy. Fingers up your butt. Right. I don't know why I went there.
Think on that, butter bullet.
Think on that. Three dead, hundreds injured after storms rouse scorpions in Egypt. This sounded apocalyptic. This
sounds biblical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Three people are dead, hundreds are injured after an incident. After inclement weather roused hordes of venomous scorpions out of their hiding places and into the streets and homes in Egypt. Vicious rain, dust storms, and vicious rain? How can you call it vicious? Rain. That implies this rain had autonomy and was like, you know, sentiently saying, I'm going to be terrible to you today.
Well, isn't there punishing rain? You hear punishing rain all the time.
I could see that makes sense because you feel punished by a natural occurrence, but it isn't that the rain went out one day and said, I'm going to punish
you. It's not malicious rain. Are you confusing vicious and malicious?
Maybe. I think they're close because vicious implies intent. Doesn't vicious imply intent? It kind of does. A little
vicious. Look, I think it can be like aggressive rain.
Well, here's the important part. Yes. Today I woke up and I ran Animal Crossing, and in the tent was that Coco character that everybody wants and nobody can get, and I got her. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just putting out there.
What is she?
She's a coconut rabbit.
What?
Thing.
Oh, she's a coconut rabbit?
Yeah. So she's made out of wood and she has wooden long ears and she looks like a coconut head. And then she was in my tent, and I and Carter flipped out. She's like, that's Coco. And I went, oh, is this one of the, she's freaking out. So I played like 5 card games, lost most of them, finally convinced her to stay, kicked out Phil, whoever the hell that was.
no attachment to Phil.
Yeah, she's a coconut rabbit, man, and I have her. She's mine.
Nice job. I was really happy when I got the cat that wears glasses. Sounds like an old Disney film from the 70s. The cat that wears glasses, like, can't remember his name.
That's a popular one, too. Raymond.
It is a Raymond. Thank you. Yes, I got Raymond.
I've never seen Raymond. Poor Phil. Somebody please feed Phil. He's leaving my...
please feed Phil.
he's leaving my island, whoever he was. I think he was a bird or some shit. I don't know what he was. All right. Anyway, Carter, sorry. You didn't get him.
Don't let the seaplane hit you on the way out,
nope,
Phil.
Nope. Wheels up and get a snack or whatever he always said. All right. Moving on. Where was I? Oh, these scorpions.
Oh, yeah. Scorpions. Yes.
Yeah. So
we need the rock. We need the scorpion king to come in and corral all the scorpions.
You know, they only listen to the king. They won't.
The king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't do things on their own. So according to BBC News, citing an unnamed health official talking about this thing, people have been injured by the sting such far. 450 of those people, by the way, 3 of them died from the stings. I mean, if you suddenly flushed out, I don't know, thousands of these things into the street, what would you actually freaking do? Like,
yeah, move if I could.
Yeah, get out.
Just get out. I mean, if let's say it wasn't scorpions, let's look at something local. Let's say it's a bunch of spiders. And the rain, lots of rain forced all these spiders to come out into the streets and into people's homes. Yeah, I think.
Did you all know? I would like to ask those people, did you know that just under the surface hundreds of thousands of scorpions were just waiting to be flushed out by bad weather.
Right? Oh my God, no kidding.
I don't like this at all. This is a bad story.
No, hey, call me when the rain's over. Yeah. Going to Vegas. Yep. See ya.
Yep. See you later.
I'm going to go live in the Luxor, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Ironically, go live in the Luxor for a few weeks.
I wonder what actual Egyptian folks, people from Egypt and that part of Northern Africa, I wonder if they come to the Luxor on a trip to Vegas and just go, pfft.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. It's got to be less now than it was when that thing first opened, because when it first opened, it was completely themed inside and out.
Yeah. I liked it.
And of course, now, obviously, you can't really change the shape of a pyramid real easily, and they still have the Sphinx in the front and a few statues inside. But they've taken out so much of the theming inside.
Which I don't understand. I think you lean into that. That's the fun of it.
I think so, too. That's what people go into your casino. That's what draws them in, is like, oh, I want to go see the theming. They used to have a moat, a boat ride that went around the inside perimeter.
That's right.
Of the Luxor.
I did that once. It was great.
Yeah. It was great. It was fun.
I miss that. I think if you have a big pyramid, you should pretend like it's a pyramid. And if you do, if you don't, then what are you even doing? Plus, it's kind of gross now. It's not great. Used to be.
You know, actually, Luxor, I don't think it's that bad. It's certainly not as bad as the Excalibur next to it.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Stayed in there recently, and they had redone the rooms and redone the inside. Like, it's not the worst place on the Strip. Certainly, by a long shot. Maybe upper bottom half.
You could go to Circus Circus, and that's where you want to die. You want to die there.
Yeah, you want to die in Circus Circus.
Yeah. In a pile of
I'd even
meth.
Say the Link is, room-wise, is in the middle to lower bottom half.
Yeah, you saved me on that, by the way. Mm. I thought we were getting such a deal. I'm like, yeah, we'll be in the Link. It's going to be great. Link,
yeah. I mean, because you think, right, all that cool stuff is outside. You've got that set of retail and restaurant stuff and the zip line and the giant Ferris wheel or observation wheel. Mm-hmm. And then you go inside and it is concrete walls and it's like school dorm kind of level.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. It's weird. Whatever. Vegas is weird. Yeah. It's a land of contradictions, that place.
Yep. Drenched Wildfire, agree. And I would actually put Bally's. So Drenched Wildfire in the chat room says, Vegas lower tier, Luxor greater than Excalibur, greater than Circus Circus. I would agree wholeheartedly with those three.
Yeah.
And I would put Bally's just above Excalibur. What else would be below Luxor for me? Link, obviously.
How's the Stratosphere as far as the hotel part? Is it any good?
I've never stayed in there, but if it's any indication, probably in that same range,
that
the Bally's level.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of them doing any sort of room.
We never talked about this, but a guy did Brian's famous jump, but without the harness and
oh his God, death. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well,
that happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it went. Yo, jeez, I can't.
Can you imagine? I mean, you can imagine. You were up there.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I totally could imagine. And I bet for those first few seconds, it was exhilarating.
Yeah.
I don't think he was doing it for the exhilaration, though.
I would shat myself if I did it.
Yeah. 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 He was not, that was not a sky jump gone wrong. That was somebody who somehow got over the railing on the, on the amusement park deck.
Oh,
of that thing and jumped. Yeah.
Ugh. On purpose.
On purpose.
They were like, I'm done.
I believe.
I'm out. I'm
yeah,
out of here.
Exactly. Checking
okay.
out.
Okay.
Checking out of the Stratosphere.
Look, I'm going to say something controversial here.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm a big believer in people should be able to live however they want to live. All right.
Yeah.
And if I have whatever right I have to live the way I want to, so should everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is the way you live, it shouldn't hurt other people the way that you live.
Of course, right.
So let's say that you're getting down to it. You found out you got terminal cancer or whatever, and you're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I just can't do this anymore. I don't have a ton of judgment for those people. But I guess where I draw the line is maybe don't. I'm not saying that that's what happened here. But if you're going to do that, don't
turn yourself into a human.
Yeah, because then you got
a human torpedo.
People have to clean up and deal with it and the shock.
Well, there also could have been somebody down there right where you landed.
Right, right. There are other people involved. It affects them in pretty major ways. And I know that just people losing people in general affects people in very personal ways. I'm not saying not denying that. But I guess what I'm saying to anyone out there, just don't, you know, don't involve the rest of us. That sounds wrong. I take it all back.
No, but it's, you know, that there is something to be said for that, right? Like,
I don't know. It's weird.
And maybe if you're even thinking that route, seek some counseling, get some help.
Oh, absolutely. And, hang out with
us. That should be your first stop before.
Listen to TMS.
Give me something that I have to clean up.
Right. Yes. Number one is try to get some help. You know, we've had plenty. Look, we've had numerous people email us and say, your show saved me from suicide.
Yeah. Yes.
And hey, if we say a bunch of dumb things for an hour and a half every day and that keeps you guys on an even keel, then I am. That makes me happier tell you.
We'll continue to do this show forever.
Right. Yeah. But if you're 90 and you're like, nothing's working right, I'm peeing the bed every night, I can barely move, my brain's going, everything's going, I got 8 different kind of cancers, I can't treat any of them because I'm 90. Like, at that point, I get it, man. Get Kevorkian that business up if you want to. Should be your choice to do that. And it should be in a controlled medical environment. And now that guy on YouTube can say we got political somehow again.
Right. Spoiler alert, they talk about suicide for 8 minutes.
Yeah, for 8 whole minutes. All right.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on to this.
Amy's begging us to
move on. Yeah, we're moving on. We're going to move on. How about this one? 7 plane crashes in 7 days. Well, this isn't that much better, although no one died. Nobody died.
On a happier note.
Yeah, nobody died in this story, I promise. Okay, 7 plane crashes in 7 days for a pilot, same pilot, ends at the bottom of Lake Michigan. If you survive 1 plane crash in your lifetime, you're considered pretty lucky. When you survive 7 in a week, the person who wrote this article says, I'm not traveling with you.
And that man's name was Harrison Ford.
There you go. Licensed pilot Dennis Collier, was a proud new owner of an amphibious airplane called the Seawind 3000. He went to California to check out the beautiful aircraft. It had not flown for years, though. In fact, the aircraft had only had a total of 20 hours of flight time in its lifetime. The plane, not him. Crash number one was the first of 7 crashes. Happened while attempting to land after a test flight in California. The landing gear was still up, and it banged the plane up pretty good. Nobody's injured.
Crash number two. It doesn't say whether or not he thought the landing gear was down or if he just forgot to lower the landing gear.
Yeah. So there it is.
To see. Yeah.
Number two, the engine stalled, causing the plane to come down hard beside a runway in New Mexico, taking out a sign and runway lights. Again, no injuries reported. All right, there's number two.
Okay.
Number three, we know for sure that this crash also took place in the same airport in New Mexico as crash number two. However, it's unclear exactly what happened, but there was a third crash. Okay. Number four, after leaving New Mexico and being in the air for a couple of hours, more problems arose. Left wing hinge tab was stuck and the plane was pitching up. It took all the pilot's strength to control the aircraft and 4 attempts to land. The landing in Nebraska was a very rough one. Number five, after repairs, Collier performed a test flight that ended in yet another crash in Nebraska. Man, this is rough. Six.
I'm going to raise my hand here and say, maybe we just need to redefine a crash, because landing hard on a runway is not a crash.
I don't know what. Yeah. Do we have any pilots in the chat or anybody who listens to the show that knows what you're supposed to call this?
Is there something between successful landing and crash that we can label these as?
Yeah, no kidding. Because it's right, bad. Now, this last one. Well, number six was another one where he did a nose hit landing. Again, it was a landing, but a hard one. It broke things up. Crash number 7. This is the final one. Mm-hmm. The week's long nightmare ended on the 4th of July in Lake Michigan. Seawind 3000 had so many recent issues. The landing gear had been deployed. The pilot promised the FAA he would keep the landing gear down for its 25-minute flight. He did not know when he made this promise that he would be doing an emergency water landing due to the wing flaps not responding. The landing gear caused the plane to go vertically into the water nose first. Somehow, he yet again remains uninjured, once again in his 7th crash, or 7th rough thing. However, the plane that should be able to float is now at the bottom of Lake Michigan. So we're done with that plane. It's done. It's no longer amphibious at all.
It does. So it does sound like, yeah, it confirms that the landing gear deploying was an issue, not the pilot, not pilot error.
Yeah. At least that, that part. Yeah, I know, right? What an insane, what an insane fun time for that guy.
I'm going to decide not to buy your plane. Thanks.
Yeah, I think I've changed my mind. I'd like my money back.
Yeah.
This plane sucks. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bill about making some stuff. Also, got a quick email from him from a listener. So we'll throw that at him at the top of the show. He doesn't even know it's coming, so that'll be fun. And some science with Bobby, assuming his 20-miler went okay. I guess we won't know till he gets here.
Oh, yeah, right.
No. He even warned me. He's like, I'm planning on being there, but who knows how I'm going to feel. I'm like, all right, well, let's play it by ear and see how it goes. So that'll be coming up next. Before all that, though, Brian has prepared a song, I assume.
I've prepared the following song. Please be seated for the following. We're going to Toronto for this one. This is a pop song that is hooky as hell. I love it. It's got some... I don't know, some Bird and the Bee kind of feel to it, a little bit of Lily Allen. It's just right, talk about right up my alley, and hopefully it's right up yours as well. It's a Toronto artist named Chiara Young, C-H-I-A-R-A, Young. Big thanks to Earshot Media for sending this one over. A brand new single that she's released called Stupid Happy, and I'll tell you, it's an accurately named song. This song is Stupid Happy. I totally dig it. This comes following her previous track, I Don't Wear Skirts, which Hollywood Life called a guitar-powered anthem about feeling happy in your own skin. Mm. She's collaborated with the folks from Walk Off the Earth, and this is her sophomore effort, How to Lose People, is slated for release next spring via Golden Carrot Records. Here's Chiara Young and Stupid Happy.
You like business, right? You like business wars? Well, good news. The newest edition of Wondery's Business Wars podcast is here. And they're looking at how BlackBerry and, you know, if you guys remember, BlackBerry was like the bomb. But then Apple came and said, hey, what about touch technology? And then Android came and, well, you know, it was a big, crazy thing. And it put the power of smartphones in the pockets of billions of people worldwide. Back in the early 2000s, the BlackBerry had revolutionized how we communicate. It seems standard now, but BlackBerry's ability to allow users to text and send emails was actually a giant game changer. And they were the first mobile device really out there that could sync with work emails, have it go right to your phone. And so people weren't chained to their desks so much. As the gold standard, every power player from DC to NYC to LA had a BlackBerry. However, it wasn't long before Steve Jobs and Apple thought they could outperform them with a phone of their own. Just when BlackBerry thought they had the market cornered, Apple launched the iPhone in 2007, and the rest is history. Learn about that history and why it was cool. I remember that whole fight. It was kind of ugly for a while, but I think everybody should listen to this show. Listen to Business Wars on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Go check it out. Business Wars. Catch it.
Cute little dog you've got there. But hold on. In a previous life, he could have been George Washington. Nice cat. Perhaps Annie Oakley. And look at him. Why, it's Napoleon.
Reincarnation. What human being was your pet in a previous lifetime? Master reincarnationist E. David Scott will tell you when you call this number. Just answer simple questions with your touch tone phone. $1.95 per minute for entertainment only. Under 18, get permission. Call now. Learn who your pet was as a human in a previous lifetime.
We sure did get some Thai food, and it's so delicious to me.
I'm getting too old for this. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Brian, please remind us once again that song and who did it.
Happy to do that. That's Ciara Young and her song Stupid Happy, a brand new single that she's released. By the way, that Fletcher clip reminded me, did you hear that Lethal Weapon 5 is now in the works, directed by yeah. none other than Mel Gibson?
I did hear this, so I guess he's going to also come back and be in it, but also direct it. So,
right, exactly.
Did he say anything? We hear anything about Danny Glover? Is he involved or back? Or?
I can't imagine he wouldn't be, right? I feel like that's a...
Yeah, you got to pull them back.
It's a lock. They wouldn't do it if they couldn't get both of them, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know why. That actually got me really excited. And I know he's a problematic guy in Hollywood. I know.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he keeps trying to get us to love him again.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, look, I made a movie about a beaver. Is that good? Is that good enough?
What'd you guys think of the beaver movie?
I played Santa in this one, an angry Santa. How's that? Is that good? What do you want from me, people?
I mean, I admit, that was last year, I guess, right? I enjoyed that. That weird Santa movie.
I did too. Yes.
Yeah. It was stupid and over the top and dumb, but I liked it.
I didn't see the beaver one, but you and I both saw that Santa thing. It was pretty good.
Yeah, the beaver one will probably end up on FilmSack at some point, but yeah. I don't know how it'll go, but I heard that and I just thought, oh, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Just don't say a bunch of anti-Semitic bullshit around it, okay?
Yes, exactly.
Just make the movie and move on. All right? All right. Getting political again. Okay, let's get Bill all up in it.
Yes.
He's very patiently over there, I believe. Hold on a second. I just realized.
Waiting patiently.
Patiently. Patient Bill, they call him in some circles.
I was almost doing an Android. Waiting patiently.
Patiently.
It's Bill.
Effing guy. All right. Here it is.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, it's Bill Duran, everybody, from PunishProps.com and the Pacific Northwest, home of Punish Props. And it's good to have you here, Bill. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing pretty good.
Oh,
just
that's fantastic.
Did a long road trip with my twin brother. We moved an old family piano from New York State to Washington State.
Whoa. Did you?
So I drove past Alia. We waved when we went by.
No, wow. So you
probably, didn't see you.
You probably looked.
Did you pass right through?
I thought I heard something.
You passed right through Salt Lake City. I assume you're on I-15 probably, right?
No, I-90 the whole way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That'd be the way because a faster route. That's too bad because we've had some of the clearest, beautiful like mountain skies lately. It's been amazing. You would have loved it driving through there.
All right.
I was going to say, I wanted to do this. Let me ask you a question, then I want to read you an email.
All right.
The question is, when you and your brother get together for something like moving a piano across the country, Do you use the opportunity to play any pranks on people with the whole twin business? Do you do any of that on the way? Like stop at a Denny's and go, you know, do some kind of trick where you ordered, but then you switch seats and then the lady's not sure because his hair's a little longer than yours and, you know, all that. You guys ever do that?
Yeah, we're boring. We never really did that, even growing up. I personally was just sick of people confusing me with another human my whole life. So I don't know. I wanted to be my own person, Scott. I just wanted to be an individual. Now, however, on the way through, we stopped for breakfast like 15 minutes from my friend David's house. And he had not met my twin brothers. And so I specifically didn't tell him that it was my twin brother. Yeah. Just to have a moment where he looked at my twin and said, I feel like I've met you before. So I did do that.
Okay.
That's good. No,
that's
good.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that sounds like fun brotherly time was spent. And good times. All right, I got a quick email. I haven't even warned you about this. Joe sent this in. It's not really anything that needs a warning, but he says, I'm a little behind on TMS at episode TMS 2202. And I'm sorry if this has been suggested already. You expressed an interest to Bill, a desire to try metal cutting lathe like your dad's. May I suggest that you look for a makerspace near you? Not only will you have access to that machinery without buying them, but there will also be folk there who will hold your hand and give you the benefit of their knowledge. Generally, there are many maker/crafter regimes to sample, i.e. woodcraft, leather, modeling, etc. I'm sure Bill could set you up. P.S. May I suggest you look up this old Tony on YouTube. He is a creative and amusing bloke. Cheers, LLAP. I don't know what that means, LLAP.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, okay. Jeez, nice. Star Trek man over there with a quick answer. And that was good. And Joe C. wrote this in. So I thought this would be just a good time, because you've talked about this before.
Right, yeah.
Good time to kind of remind people that they probably don't even know it, but if they hear like your segment and go, oh, I want to make that, or I want to do this, but I don't have access to this stuff, these are kind of everywhere, right?
Yeah, I wonder how the pandemic has had an effect on that. But yeah, we had a couple, I know we used to anyway, have a couple of makerspaces in Seattle. Usually there's like a monthly fee and then you can go in and use this stuff. And more importantly, have access to the people who know how to use this stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially if you live in a small apartment and can't, you know, put a 4 foot tall drill press in there. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth checking out, especially if you just want to dabble. You're not sure how committed you want to be, like I am. Like I have half of my house is full of tools. That is my life now. That's just how it is, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's
also this old Tony is probably my favorite YouTuber.
Oh,
and
really?
If you're interested in machining at all? You should go check him out. It's highly specific to me. Isn't going to be. He's no Mark Rober, let's say.
Sure.
As far as like mass appeal is concerned, but if you're into machining, this old Tony is the best.
This is cool. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of these, and I didn't know any of these were around me.
Oh, you know what I like about this old Tony? He doesn't even bother with like fancy YouTube channel page. He's just like, here's my videos. If you want these, these are fine. Take them.
Yeah.
A million followers, and just like, yeah, here you go.
Whatever.
I think that's great. I don't know why I admire that. I do. Everyone thinks you got to make a million silhouettes of yourself with a white border on yourself, making a face and a giant, you know, text thing to the side for your thumbnail. Mm-hmm. And then you got to structure your videos the same and always say like and subscribe and all that stuff. I like a guy who just says, I'm putting up a thing.
Yep.
Not following your damn rules, internet. I like that. Something about that. All right. Well, thank you for sending that in, Joe. And, Bill for
one,
entertaining
one here in Boulder called the Solid State Depot. And they've got everything. 3D printers and cutters and this place looks like what I'd like my house to look like at some point.
Yeah, it probably looks like my basement.
So you go in there and you rent the space for a while? How does it generally work? You just pay
different
places. Yeah, they have different policies and everything depending on the place you go. Most of the time, it's been a monthly fee, and then you have a certain amount of access to this stuff.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck, everyone, and the Solid State Depot in Denver. All right. Moving on. Hey, Bill, tell us what you're working on right now, speaking of making things.
So I keep talking about this, but I've been in Ghostbusters mode for a while now. And the movie comes out this week.
Yep.
And I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. So I went and made myself the most legit pair of Ecto goggles I could.
Now, I have to
admit, we have a video, obviously, over on our YouTube channel.
Yeah. I've been getting a sneaky peek at this because Bill sent me a couple of texts, and I cannot believe how rad these turned out. They're amazing, dude. They look so good.
I am overjoyed with how they turned out. Spirit Halloween sells a bunch of Ghostbuster stuff, and they do sell a pair of Ecto goggles. And I had intended to buy that, which I did. I have it. I was going to modify it to look more like for the movie. And then I thought, yeah, let's do it from scratch. What if I made it way harder? Mm-hmm. So the main body, I 3D printed it. Now you have options. You could scour the world for a genuine pair of 1972 AN/PVS-5A night vision goggles. You could do that. I couldn't.
That's what the originals are based on? With the,
yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't. I'm fresh out. I don't have any. And I imagine if you do find a pair, they're quite expensive. So you could also do what Adam Savage did. He made a video a while back where he sculpted a solid buck, the shape of the goggles, and then made a vacuum form of it. Or you can go to Thingiverse, where there are dozens of Ecto goggle files for free. And you can just pick your favorite and 3D print it. And that's what I did.
Nice.
He did a lot of sanding to make them look all pretty. But the part I'm the most proud of, I've got to say, are the lenses and the knobs. Because I turned all of those out of aluminum on my lathe. We were talking about the lathe last week. This is what I was working on.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Your lenses alone are enough to make me want one of these. They just look so legit, not being, you know, plastic or
whatever. That finish is, like, you can get pretty good with paint. But the finish of the genuine aluminum, like brushed metal look, is just so good.
Does it add to the weight of things? Aluminum's light, but does it make the whole thing feel, I don't know?
Yeah, thicker? Yeah. It's a pretty happy medium ground. Because if you have like really heavy stuff on your head, that's a problem if you're wearing it all day.
Yeah.
But the aluminum just feels, the weight feels really, really good. Now the knobs, very proud of the knobs. They've got a knurled texture on them, and I love knurling. And there's a couple of different. There's a straight knurl on some of them, and a diamond knurl, which is like that crosshatch looking texture you'd find on like a knob on your camera or something.
Sure.
And I had to go and buy a specific new knurling tool for that.
Need a new knurler.
Yeah. Well, now I have a whole collection of knurlers.
Yeah.
Very excited about those.
Yeah, very cool. This thing, this little extra piece that you put on one of the lenses, and you got a little vice grip holding it there and everything. I didn't realize the original design even had whatever that is. I guess.
Yeah, I might be wrong about this. So the original night vision goggles, they were mostly the body. The lenses on there, I believe, were pulled off a microscope. I think that's how they built the original props. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that weird lumpy thing was on the side of it, but it had to be attached later because you can't do that on the lathe. But I think the solution I came up with worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
And then the other thing I really love about the metal parts is they got painted. So part of them are just raw aluminum and part of them are painted black. And then I took those parts and I put them in a bucket full of metal chunks and screws. And I just kind of shook them around a bit. And the metal chunks scratched the paint and dinged up the metal a little bit. But that's exactly what would happen in the real world over a long period of time.
Right.
And that finish, like I said, like you can get pretty close with paint, but boy, when you do the real thing, it looks perfect.
You know, the real world of Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's all real. I mean, you know.
The hardest part is finding real ectoplasm.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Because that stuff goes bad. Like, you can't keep it on the shelf.
I heard a cool story yesterday that Josh Gad's the voice of Muncher, the ghost character, animated ghost character in this thing, which seems fine. It's a fine pick or whatever. But I guess the way that went down is they literally were hanging around the Sony lot for separate reasons. And the director, what's his name? Jason Reitman was just in the neighborhood and happened to see him and said, "Hey, dude, you want us to come over here and do like a quick test of this voice for this thing?" And says, "Oh yeah, I'll totally do it." And they went and did it, and boom, he's in, and now he's the voice of Muncher. I think that's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's like one of those great Hollywood stories.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. Which meant, you know, they still had to go back and go, "All right, now let's go through the channels and get the agents working, you know, and all that." But I like when they can just be creative and say, "Hey, I'm doing a thing. You want to be involved?" Mm-hmm. "Yes." "All right, let's go."
Yeah.
Right.
It's like podcasting. Anyway, sorry, that was a derailment. But This is beautiful. Can you explain what the tape is for? Was that to mask it so you painted it? Is that what that is?
Right. So I masked off part of the lens so that I wouldn't get any paint on it, and then airbrushed the black paint on the rest of it.
Gotcha. There. Okay. Yeah.
And I ended up using a bunch of other techniques on this build too, which was kind of fun. Like, it was an amalgamation of a lot of the techniques I've learned over the years. So the clear lenses were laser cut. There's the straps on there, and those I had to do a bit of sewing. There's a squishy part that presses against your face, so I had to do some work with upholstery foam and like a vinyl cloth for that. And of course, painting and weathering. So once everything was pretty much put together, I did a few passes with some acrylic paint to make it just look really dirty, which is, of course, the most fun part.
What's the what's poultry foam? I think I've heard of that.
Upholstery foam.
Oh, upholstery. Poultry.
Yeah. Poultry foam.
Some kind of chicken, turkey, you know, kind of meat-based foam. All right. Very cool. And the video's up now. I've been showing the chat room the whole time. It looks astoundingly cool, and I'm super jealous. And you should never let that leave your sight. Don't let anyone buy it out or take
it. It's been my constant companion for a while. It's just sitting next to... Actually, it's hanging off my proton pack, which is next to the TV, so that I see it every day.
Now, if you're going to go see that movie, are you going to cosplay up and go? Or what are you going to do?
And the plan is to do that tomorrow. Very excited.
Yeah. You got to get pictures and stuff. Make sure you get all that.
Yep. And a real quick thing to point out, everyone watching the video. My wife, Brittany, films and edits these videos. Yeah. And... she's really good.
She
puts a lot of effort into these.
Yeah. And everyone, find yourself a companion in your life that can film and edit everything for you.
Who can stand looking at your...
Yeah.
Marry a producer. Say,
find someone who can stand looking at your face for that long.
Yeah. No kidding, because at the end of the day, she's like, I did this all day, and I have to sit next to you on this couch? F this.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's looking really good. Congrats on the project. It just looks insane. And keep your eye open in your mail, because there's something coming to you, and I can't tell you what it is. Big surprise. Pulling a Johnson. Let's just say it's Ghostbusters related. Anyway, hey, Bill, what else? You got a little bonusy thing for us today?
Do I ever. Our friends Evan and Caitlin make another husband-wife video-making duo. Made a video. They made the world's brightest lightsaber. They got crazy bright flashlight, like the kind you shouldn't stare at because you'll go blind.
Oh yeah.
And they made it into a lightsaber, and it's ridiculous and awesome.
So those ones are the ones you always see advertised on like Instagram and stuff, where it's like a trillion lumens and you can see for 100 million miles.
Claim can light up an entire football field, this flashlight.
Man, $669 is what they paid for that.
Who needs that much light? Nobody needs that much light.
No, just buy the sun if you're going to spend that. That's crazy. All right. Very cool. And they turn it into a lightsaber. It's amazing. All right. I'm blown away. Bill, always a pleasure. Make sure you go check out his site. It's punishprops.com, punishprops on YouTube. You can see this latest build and many more things. So do it or be lame. If you want to be lame, that's fine. But I say go look at it. That's what I say.
It's the quickest way to achieve lamedom is not to do it.
That's right. You're on your way to lamedom. Bill, have a good one, man. We'll see you next week.
Hello.
Go do twin chicanery. My gosh, that light is cool. I want a super powerful flashlight. What's wrong with you? Why do I want that so bad?
You don't need that.
I don't need it at all. But if you told me it was $50, I'd do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't even think about it. And I would annoy my neighbors.
$700. $700, not so much.
Yeah. It's probably good for when people are looking for missing people, or cops are trying to find a suspect or something, you know? I don't know. I'm no cop. I'm not the fuzz. All right, let's get Bobby. Bobby's in the chat, so we're good. He's here.
He's at least able to log in.
Oh, good. He doesn't have to be on camera if you don't want him to be. He can just chill. But let's find out what's happening here when I click this.
Science.
Oh, look, he is on camera. Bobby, you look like you just ran a marathon. What's going on?
Yeah, we'll see if it's okay. My internet went down like 10 minutes ago, so this is LTE. Do I sound all right?
You're on your phone. Yeah, you sound okay. You sound like you're on a phone, but you sound fine. It's good enough.
And you and I have the same taste in IKEA display units.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Very nice. I always want, is that wrong that I always want those fake TVs and fake?
No, nothing wrong with that at all.
I love that stuff.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Nothing good.
Exactly. That's the problem is, you know.
I know. I don't have enough crap, Brian. You know I have enough crap. I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Tina yells at me.
Well, Bobby's back. He's our science correspondent, comes on the show on Tuesdays and shares scientific knowledge with us. And, of course, runs a podcast about science as well called All Around Science. And he ran a huge marathon today. Thing, not a marathon. Well, what is it? 20? That was the marathon, right?
No. The marathon's 26.2 miles. It was my longest training run in the whole 30-week training process. It was 20 miles. So definitely long. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, and because you have to, I was treating this run as sort of a total dry run. Like, let's treat it like it's the marathon, do everything I'm going to do on the marathon and see where like weaknesses in my prep are and stuff like that. And so I got up, you want to get up and make sure you eat something like 2 to 3 hours before you start your run and all this kind of stuff. And it went well. I'm pretty beat, but
was it just you? Do you have anybody else there with you to like compare times or, you know, I don't know, run at the same time, or is it just you?
It's just me. Mm-hmm. People suggested all along the way that I get like a running group or a running partner or something, but I don't really like people that much, so I didn't.
Sound like me.
I can relate.
Yeah. You sound like me. I'd want to do it on my own too.
I don't like cycling with other people. I like cycling by myself. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, especially you don't want that kid with his earbuds in front of you. You don't want that kid anymore. Mm. To your left.
That guy.
Well, anyway, it's good to see you. It's a related topic today, right? What are you laying on us?
Yeah, because I don't have my computer connected to the internet. I wasn't just looking at my phone. I was pulling up the notes that I have from my phone.
Sure.
like, oh yeah, sure. I went on a run today.
Checking your social media.
We got a question last week about cramps and whether mustard.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Able to relieve cramps. And if it does, how does it work? Stuff like that. And I didn't really have information off the top of my head, so I decided to do a little bit of looking into it. Mm-hmm. And the short answer is mustard probably doesn't do anything. but there's I don't like to crap on people's like things that they think work for them. You know, people have whatever. I'm not that type. I'm not a debunker. You know, like some people are like, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not whatever, but some of the other things about like why it doesn't work are actually interesting and what leg cramps are and stuff like that. So to understand leg cramps, you have to sort of understand why your muscles contract, and the process is basically your brain sends a signal through your neurons to your muscles. And this is interesting, actually. You know, your neurons, they send these electrical signals through, like, you know, you can compare them to wires. That's how it's always compared, right? Mm-hmm. And they go from one neuron to the next. But when they get to your muscles, they're just, you've got a big beefy muscle, and the neurons just like end at the muscle, and they're just like grabbing onto your muscle. Almost like, you know, webby fingers just wrapped around your muscle. And then the electrical signal hits your muscle fibers and then kicks off what's called an action potential that goes down the muscle. And that tells it to, that it needs to contract.
Yeah.
And, when that happens, like basically calcium, and I'm telling you all these details, not because I'm trying to make you a doctor, but because the steps along the way help understand why cramping happens and why people think that certain remedies would help. Mm-hmm. So after the electrical signal hits the muscles, basically that kicks off a process where calcium ions get dumped out of storage and flood the muscle, and that allows the muscle to contract, and the muscle uses an energy molecule called ATP. So calcium and ATP are really important in what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But the muscles use ATP to actually do the contraction. And then when it's done, there's a pump called a fast calcium pump that that pumps the calcium back into its storage so it can happen again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that pump that puts the calcium away uses a sodium and potassium gradient to get that done. So those are four things that are really important in muscle contraction: sodium, potassium, calcium, and ATP.
Mm.
So the leading theory about why muscle cramps happen, and it's actually a lot, not a lot is really well understood about why different cramps happen.
Yeah, interesting that it's still theoretical. You'd think that this would be an area that we'd know a lot more about, but.
Yeah, and the leading hypotheses, there are kind of two of them, and the first one has to do with what those things I just described, basically a breakdown in the process.
Mm.
So one of them is that there's a problem with those fast calcium pumps putting the calcium back into storage. And so that means that it's just not putting it back in. So the calcium is still on the muscle, not letting it let go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because the calcium allowed the muscle to contract. If the calcium stays there, then it's very difficult for the muscle to let go.
Right.
The other thing is because the muscle uses that energy molecule ATP to do the work of moving the muscle back and forth, that could be another reason maybe why cramping is happening, is there's not enough ATP available. So basically not enough energy in your body to do it.
Okay.
So if there are, so now that the detailed science lesson is over, all of the different remedies that people try address the reason that people come up with them or theorize that they might work or anything like that are all usually addressing one of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear things like hydration is important and electrolytes are important. Now, why are electrolytes important? Because usually those types of things have, whenever your electrolytes are imbalanced, it can mess up the sodium and potassium balance in your body, which would mess up those pumps getting the calcium back to you out of your muscles, right?
Right,
right.
So some people theorize that. That's actually one of the reasons why people think that mustard might work, or why they did think it might work, is because there's a lot of sodium in mustard, right?
So it's just another placebo deal if they think it does. Like, again, we're not trying to debunk here, but is that what's going on if somebody takes it and goes,
it very much could be. So yeah, there's, like I said, without going into the laundry list of all the different things that people try, you know, like pickle juice and there are some medications that people have tried before and have tried to develop. The long and the short of it is there's not a lot of evidence that any of them work to treat muscle cramps. If you have a muscle cramp right now, there's probably nothing you can do about it. And it makes sense if you think about it, because if you consume a bunch of mustard, what's the reason you're trying to do that? Is because maybe there's something in the mustard that would get to your muscles and allow relief and help with relief.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But your metabolism isn't going to get anything from the mustard into your bloodstream for probably at least an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're typically going to feel relief before then. And so the only thing that anybody really knows is super effective at relieving muscle cramps is stretching. And that's kind of what you naturally are. Like whenever you get a cramp, that's what you do, right? You're like, oh, mm-hmm. And then you just stretch it out until it feels better. So you mentioned placebo. That's probably what a lot of people are thinking. So a lot of these like home remedies that people use that maybe don't really work and are kind of placebo, the reason people think they work and they make a connection is because it feels a lot better to get up, go get a spoonful of mustard, try to eat it, and be doing something rather than just
waiting for it to take care of itself on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if that helps, because it also takes your mind off of it in a way, because you're focused on a task, you know?
Mm.
And so if that helps, then that helps people, you know, get through it. But stretching, by the time the mustard has done its thing, you're probably stretching. And so by the time you eat the mustard, you've probably stretched it out too. So there's a closer.
Oh yeah, I always wondered about that. There. Yeah, the time thing is—it's like enough time for it to ease on its own, and then you're thinking, well, it's because I ate the mustard 15 minutes ago.
Right, right.
It's like, no, it probably was going to happen anyway. All right, so my wife every night—not every night. some nights will take a supplement that is magnesium and calcium. Mm. So a combination of magnesium, calcium. I don't know what the ratio is or whatever. And she claims that it just eliminates Jimmy legs, like just poof.
Yeah. Nocturnal. Are you talking about nocturnal?
Like the kind where you can't freaking sleep. It's just like you're kicking your legs around, and it's just like you're
restless
leg syndrome. There you go.
Well, restless leg syndrome is not the same as muscle cramps.
Right. It's not connected to that, but I assume, like, I've had Jimmy legs plenty of times. I'll take her weird supplement. Doesn't do anything for me. Zip. Not a nothing. Mm-hmm. But she's like, and then sleeps. Now, either she's just got a really good placebo effect going, or it's just chemically working for her, and mine's just resistant to whatever I do. I don't know.
I don't know. I know that restless leg syndrome actually is also another thing that's not well understood. It's weird that muscle in your legs, nobody understands them, I guess.
How do they work?
Yeah.
Magnesium and calcium are also supplements that people take for leg cramps too, though. And so there's nothing that works to help really that you can take. No evidence. I always have to caveat it with that. There's no evidence that any treatments work, but the evidence on prevention is a little bit different, which is what you're talking about, Scott, trying to prevent it. There's maybe weak evidence that some things work for prevention. Like, I think there was one paper I ran across that talked about mustard for prevention, like taking a spoonful of mustard every night before you went to bed. There are some people think that it's not because of the sodium in it, that it actually might be because there's some chemical in the mustard that stimulates some enzyme in your mouth or something like that then kicks off some kind of neural pathway thing. I don't know. It sounded complicated to me, so I don't really get it. But I mean, the things that people think if they're going to work for prevention of leg cramps that work the best are just stretching ahead of exercise, proper carb intake, like proper fueling before exercise, and electrolyte
hydration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but again, the evidence is weak for that. And that's just exercise induced leg cramps. There's basically all the science that I read said that if you're experiencing nocturnal leg cramps, sorry.
You're just going to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bummer. I mean, I've had one of those, what do they call them, Charlie horses in the middle of the night. Like,
yeah, that's the leg cramps, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very rare. And it's usually because I started jogging again or something, you know. There's usually something I can point to. But those, here's how those go. It's like 2 in the morning. I roll over and go, eep! Like that kind of sound comes out of me. And my wife goes, what? And I go, Charlie horse, grab my foot. And so she'll grab it and do like kind of the hold it tight thing so that it's not like spasming. And then it goes away. And then we both can't go back to sleep. And then there's your night. That's fantastic. It's a great way to live.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that's another reason why people have all these different remedies for Charlie horses, for nocturnal leg cramps, is because the older you get, the more likely you are to get them. Mm-hmm. And it can really, especially if you have them frequently, it can really lower your quality of life quite a bit. Because it's, like you said, you have them in the middle of the night, you can't get back to sleep. Sometimes the pain can last for hours or, you know, some people say a day.
It's brutal. Know? It's brutal. It looks like it looks like three naked men wrestling under your leg muscle. Like they're all in there, going, I'm going to get you. And you can just see it kind of like undulate.
Why are they naked?
Oh, I don't know why they're naked. Why are
they
naked?
That's how they fit on your skin, Brian, of course.
Yeah, that's true. Greased up and naked, and that's how they get
How else are you going to get them under your epidermis if they're not naked and greased up? All right, well, so my big takeaway from this is I'm hungry for mustard. Is that normal? Why am I hungry?
Yeah.
I could eat a hot dog right now with copious amounts of mustard, because that's all I hear you say is mustard.
Wrap it in a paper towel.
There you go. Bobby, always fun to talk about this stuff with you, of course. Super cool that you're Mr. Runner now. And not only that, but look at you all spry and ready for a segment anyway. Like, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
I'm here to to help. I don't know.
Well, good. Well, you're very helpful. And
I'm here to believe you.
If you guys have questions or thoughts about the segment or want us to toss something over to Bobby, send those in, themorningstream@gmail.com. Happy to do that. Tell people about All Around Science, where they can get it.
You can get it at allaroundscience.com. That's our website, or the podcast is called All Around Science. We talk about science stuff, and we're not experts. So we really try to approach it like we're not scientists.
Right.
So we really try to approach it from that perspective. Like, we just really love science, and we want other people to love it too. We just did the episode that was released yesterday. It was about fluoride and how it, like, why and how it's so good for your teeth. Why is it so, like, it must be really good. They put it in all the water. And that's a mandated thing on the federal level. And so what does it do? Why is it always you're getting the varnish painted on in the dentist's office? Like, how does it actually help? And why is that? And we talked about, when your kids are going to finally get to go back to school without masks.
Yeah. 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 That'll be a good day, won't it? That'd be a great day.
It will be a good day.
Kids will like that, I think. I think they're as sick of this as we are. Although maybe they're better about it than half the adults I know, you know?
Kids don't care.
Yeah,
my older daughter, she, even when we're in a situation where it's probably fine, she is extra cautious. She's like, no, I think I'm going to wear masks.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids are older, obviously, but I've just noticed, like, when Van has to put one on to go to the dinosaur museum, he's only two. He wears it. He's not pulling it off. He's not freaking out. He's not irritated by it. He's just sort of.
He's not screaming, this is a violation of my civil rights.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that. So, YouTube guy, that was Brian. That wasn't me. That was Brian. Just kidding. Oh, gosh.
That's my wife, three or four times you got political today?
I know. It just keeps happening. May as well just
spoiler
call
alert.
This a politics show and move on. All right. Well, hey, Bobby, it's great to hear from you. I hope you get all the mustard you need today to feel better and not feel better, but just, you know, not have any cramps. I wish no cramps on you is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll see you next time. All right. There goes Bobby into the wind.
There he goes.
Real quick, I wanted to show people this. Kim very nicely just brought these down.
As I said, this just handed to me, literally.
Yeah, just handed to me. So right now up on the store.
Yeah, I saw these on Twitter.
I skipped last year, and I don't know why. I think I was just depressed about the pandemic. But if you like Christmas cards and you're looking for some unique cards to send to some friends, let me pull each one out so I can show them here. They are now available and up on the store. For some reason, I can't. Oh, there it is. I even have a Ghostbusters theme one. Anyway, they're in this set of four, all drawn and written by me. These are not folded yet, so you can't see the. There's just a crease, you know. So you can fold them, obviously. But each one of them's got the little frog pants greetings, a little frog pants
cool. logo on
there. this one says, nice. "Told you I wouldn't ghost you this year. Merry Christmas." And he's wearing a, you know, he's a Ghostbusters thing. And then this one is Santa Claus riding a sandworm from Dune saying, the spice must flow, ho, ho. Get it? Get it? Because he's Santa Claus with the ho, ho, right?
I get it.
Yeah, there's another one where he's just, Santa Claus is too busy playing a game and he'll be right to you after he finishes this game. And then
he's
the final
playing
one,
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, of course.
Clearly.
That's all I'm doing these days. And then there's this buff Santa saying, what have you been up to in the last 12 months? Looking all buff and ready. He's got nipples and everything. So if you want your own set of these amazing, this four set of cards to send to your favorite people in your family and friends list, that set is up there and now available at thefrogpants.com/store site. And plenty of time to get them to you if you act now. So hop in there and check them out if you desire to do such.
They are very cool, Scott. Very cool.
Thank you, Brian. All right. That's it for the show. I do want to thank a couple of patrons, though. Three of them.
Before you do that, let me really quickly mention.
Yeah.
There is a new Tadpool Secret Santa. You'll find information in the Discord if you're a member of the Discord. If you're not a member of the Discord, you'll also find it at the Tadpool Facebook group. But this is where you can sign up to trade gifts with some random member of the Tadpool. I've done it every year. I'm going to do it again this year. And it's a blast. So go find the Tadpool Secret Santa post on Discord. It's pinned. Same with Facebook. It's pinned. I'm not going to read that whole long link because it's a bunch of gibberish letters. But somebody needs to make a bit.ly out of that.
Yeah, we could do that. Sure.
Anyway, sign up, and the deadline is the end of this month. You've only got 2 weeks to do it. November 30th is the deadline. And once again, you might get lucky and draw me. And I'm probably just going to send a bunch of Spice Girls shit.
Yeah, why not?
I'll send my Secret Santa.
Yeah, I get it. I feel you. Also, real quick, I did it last year as well, and I loved it. If you are like, well, wait, I'm not a part of either of those communities, it's really easy. Go to frogpants.com/TMS. The Discord link is there. It doesn't require anything special, no passwords or anything. You just get in. And the same with the Facebook group. Now, that one, I think they approve you, but it's real easy. You just sign up, and then Genie or somebody will give you approval. So head over there, do that, be that, be a part of it. It's a fun thing we do every year, and would love to have you involved. All right. Okay, here are these patrons. Sean.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Sean, who went to patreon.com/TMS and grabbed us at the grade A level. Also, John Norris at the grade A plus level. Love that level. So thank you, John. Appreciate it. And Ben B, also at the grade A level. If you want to be like these three fine individuals, you can head on over to patreon.com/TMS and check out all the reasons why. Main reason being, it's dirt cheap to support us. Very cheap. Like, too cheap. We screwed up. Go go take advantage of our screw up, okay? Because we're not changing it. Go do it. That's over at patreon.com/TMS. A reminder, you can always email us directly, themorningstream@gmail.com. You have a question for one of our panelists or one of our segments or anything, that's the place to do it. And follow us on Twitter at Morning Stream. All right, that's it. Brian, we should play a song. Do you want to do
that? We should. I mean, we should.
You could, but should you? Should you?
We should.
Okay, then you should.
This one is a good one right here. Let me make sure that it is. Yes. Did I pick? There we go. Yes, I did pick the right one. All right, Dustin wrote in and said, "Dear old S&B, I thought I'd write a quick request to celebrate my oldest son, Logan, attaining the rank of Eagle, scouting Boy Scouts of America, on November 3rd. He's now a third-generation Eagle. Myself and my stepfather are both Eagles. Even one of my brother-in-laws is an Eagle. After the pandemic put a stranglehold on earning merit badges and Zoom taking over for campgrounds or campouts and meetings for a while, he's finally pushed through and finished his project and gotten all his I's dotted and his T's crossed and has had his final board of review on November 3rd.
Nice.
There's no song that comes to mind for this, but I'm sure Brian can come up with something. And it really doesn't matter when you fit this in. Logan likes to listen to songs that are covers of game themes and background music, so hopefully that gives you a direction to go in. If not, dealer's choice. Thanks for all the years of entertainment you have provided. How about a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch for lunch?"
Oh, we can totally do that.
Stay safe.
I can totally do that. By the way,
I bet you can.
His son is of my people. Like, I love... More than almost anything these days, it's soundtracks from video games that I love the most, and remixes of stuff. I'm completely obsessed with a Animal Crossing cover that I played at the top of the show today.
Oh, it's great! I love that one.
It's so good. Like, I just love that stuff. So I feel him. I feel like I know your son already. All right, so here we go.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I knew I had it. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
All right, so the cover I chose is Metroid Metal. This is from a band called Stemage, and they do covers of metal covers of video game songs. This comes from the Brinstar level, and it is the theme to that level done in heavy metal style. Here is Metroid Metal, Brinstar by Stemage.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
She looked beast.